Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust from Solihull in England. Today we are looking at the healing of two blind men recorded in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew is the only one who writes about this miracle, and there must have been something about it that made him want to include it in his Gospel. Join Morris Payne as he applies this miracle to our lives today. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and Singers. Stay tuned for today's message.
The miracle of the two men whom Jesus healed is found in Matthew chapter 9.
As Jesus went on, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Verses 27 to 30.
This miracle is only recorded by Matthew. There must have been something about it that made him include it in his gospel. And as we do with each of these miracles that are only mentioned once, we must look for a possible reason why this miracle attracted Matthew's attention. What feature was there that made Matthew include this one in his gospel? Two blind men followed Jesus, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When Jesus went indoors, they followed him into the house. He asked them whether they believed he was able to heal them, and they answered, "Yes, Lord." Whereupon Jesus touched their eyes, and their sight was restored. Now Jesus told them to tell no one about their healing. Listen to this.
Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region.
That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus told them, "Don't tell anyone about this," but they couldn't keep quiet. And they went out and spread the news about Jesus all over the region. May God give you and I grace to spread the news about Jesus to those whom we meet who need him. It could have been the way these two blind men were determined in their quest and persevered to meet Jesus and to obtain their healing from him that stuck in Matthew's mind. He could have been attracted by the way the two men interrupted the privacy and rest that Jesus might have expected when he went into the house. On the other hand, it's quite likely that it was the way Jesus told these two men to keep quiet after he healed them that Matthew remembered. Furthermore, it may be the way they disobeyed this instruction from Jesus and blazed abroad what had happened that caught Matthew's attention. But we must pay special attention to the unusual question Jesus asked these two blind men. Blindness, you know, was a common ailment in the East then, as it is in many countries now. And we find that giving sight to the blind is a miracle Jesus performed more than once, as reported in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, we read,
"They brought Jesus a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb."
On that occasion, the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. In Matthew chapter 20, we read of two blind men sitting by the roadside begging. And other Gospels relate the incident when Jesus met Bartimaeus. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 14, we read,
"The blind and lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them."
And in the 9th chapter of John's Gospel, we have the unique story of the man born blind, whom Jesus healed, and the stir this caused among the leaders of the Jews. There are also a number of references or allusions to Jesus healing the blind. In Matthew chapter 11, the message that Jesus sent back to John Baptist, who was inquiring about him, included the words, "The blind receive sight." And then, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 21, we read,
"At that very time Jesus gave sight to many who were blind."
There's no doubt that the physical blindness we read about in the Gospels points to the spiritual blindness that exists then and in our world today. In a world of physical light, men are unable to see or discern spiritual things. Their human perception seems unable to grasp God's plan of salvation. Now, the question Jesus asked when he said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" is unusual, because at first sight it would seem that these two blind men exhibited every indication of the faith that we would expect to find in those who are to be healed. They followed Jesus in the way, repeatedly crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Then, when Jesus didn't attend to their request but went into the house, they followed him inside. They persevered. They were determined that they should get to Jesus. That's a wonderful trait, you know. So many in the Gospels were determined to get to Jesus, and so many received the blessing from the Lord that they persisted in this way. Now, to ask these two blind men if they believed that Jesus could do this would be akin to asking a man who travelled halfway around the world to meet a medical specialist if he thought the specialist was then able to do anything for him. If we'd asked them, these two men could have said, "Don't you think the way we cried out and kept on is sufficient evidence that we believe Jesus can heal us?" We see here the importance of faith. Jesus asked these two blind men whether they believed, because he had to impress upon them their need to believe. It's not just going to where Jesus is. It's not just being an atmosphere where Jesus' blessing is felt. It's exercising faith. It's necessary for us to have faith if God is to work in our lives today. Faith is like a connection between man's emptiness and God's fullness. It's like the bucket that is needed if we withdraw from God's well of blessing and salvation. Faith by itself may be of little value, just as a purse that is empty has no value in it. But while a purse may of itself be of little value, it is needed to hold the treasure. And once it does that, it becomes of great value. Belief in God puts us in line for receiving from God. we cannot please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. These two blind men needed to appreciate the unique importance of faith. More than their determination or enthusiasm, more than their responding to what they'd heard about the miracles that Jesus had performed, more than the encouragement they're able to give to one another and urge one another on to reach and speak to Jesus, these two men needed to believe. There's a danger of thinking we can rely on someone else's faith, you know. There are occasions when it is of great help and encouragement to know that others are praying for you. And it's a natural thing for you to ask someone else to pray that you shall receive guidance or help or comfort or support in a particular step you have to take or in a problem you face. But when it comes to you seeking something from the Lord, it's your faith that is needed. A person may be very active and diligent in the work of the Lord or fellowship or community in which he or she lives. Yet it isn't activity or diligence that's needed to receive from God, but faith or belief in him supplying the need. You know, Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. A person may exhibit characteristics of the Christian faith in their life and yet not themselves have a personal faith in the Lord. You may even say prayers without faith or make a petition without faith. You can participate in the work of the church or other charitable deeds of kindness without faith in your heart. You can meet regularly with the people of the Lord, learn their language, mingle with them, and yet not have that faith that Jesus referred to when he asks these blind men, do you believe? These men, you know, in this miracle, probably mingled with the crowd who were responded to the teaching of Jesus. We might say that it was with the crowd they were following him in the way. They were calling out to Jesus, seeking an audience with him, bringing their request to him. But Jesus felt it necessary to ask them whether they had faith to believe that he could do this, because it was possible for them to have all these other qualities and still lack faith. They may have been just relying on the faith of the Lord or the power of the Lord or the compassion of the Lord or the faith of a friend or the prayer of a friend. So Jesus put a stop to any idea that they might have had about relying on others with the question, do you believe? We need to apply that thought to ourselves personally. How about you in the depths of your heart? Have you had a personal encounter with Jesus? Are you reaching out to one who has already touched your life when you call upon him in prayer? When it comes to God working in your life, are you a believer? Could it be you are seeking to be carried along on a wave of enthusiasm or spiritual enjoyment or pleasure or what you may call worship and yet be without faith in your heart? Have you had a personal encounter with Jesus? Looking at the question another way, is the Lord asking you, do you have faith? And if so, what is your response? Faith is active. Listen to what we read in the letter of James.
What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? James 2 verse 14.
You say that you believe in Christ. What can you show to prove you have that faith? These two men had many commendable characteristics. They were seeking Jesus. They were persevering and determined to reach him. They were overcoming what to others would be insurmountable difficulty. They were not deterred by tradition or even by their need to get into the house where Jesus was. Yet the Lord Jesus, who knew all the hearts of those that came to him, felt the need to ask them, "Do you believe? Do you have faith?" Repeatedly, men and women who met Jesus in his earthly ministry were asked if they believed. To Mary and Martha, at the death of their brother Lazarus, when at last, after 4 days, he came, Jesus said,
"I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" John 11, verses 25 and 26.
Speaking words of comfort to his disciples before he left them, Jesus said,
"Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." John chapter 14, verse 1.
They needed to believe. When Jairus heard that his little girl had died, he obviously wondered whether it was now possible for Jesus to do anything for her. You remember he went to Jesus, and as they were journeying, the news came that the little girl's died. "Don't trouble the master any further." It was at that moment of despair that Jesus said to him,
"Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." Luke 8, verse 50.
Speaking about true worship with the woman he met at the well, Jesus said the two words, "Believe me." And the risen Lord desires to come into your life with his blessing and fullness. And whenever you meet him, you're likely to find him asking you, "Do you believe?" Just think what these blind men were asking Jesus to do. They were asking him to restore their sight. We're not told how long they'd been blind. On another occasion, Jesus healed a man who'd been blind from birth. And when the religious leaders expressed their antagonism against what had happened and challenged that former blind man, he said, "Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind." But Jesus asked these two blind men the question, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Because, you see, we can recognize and acknowledge that Jesus can do many things for other people, but can he do it for me, for you? Jesus wanted them to be fully aware of the extent of what they were asking. We accept that Matthew's gospel records all that the Spirit of God wishes us to know about this incident. And there is no indication that the blind men actually said it was the restoration of their sight they wanted. Their need was so obvious. And Jesus knew their need. And we might say, Jesus knows your need, your every need. He knows all about you. The psalmist said he knows you're down sitting and you're uprising. He knows your thoughts are far off. And Jesus, who knows all about you, asks, "Do you believe that I can meet it?" We need faith to do God's will, rather than to do what we want to do. You recall that Jesus needed to pray to his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." That's in Luke 22, verse 42. So it must be in our lives. The path of blessing is to surrender to the will of God, that his will may be done. Much of our prayer, if we would stop to analyze it, is self-seeking. We ask for what will make life easier for us. It is right that we should do so, and that we should ask God to keep us from accident or illness. Ask him that our children may be successful at school, that God will keep us in our everyday problems, and so on. But equally, we should seek that others might have these things that we ask for ourselves. There is special need for God's blessing to be felt in the needy parts of the world. As well as for general matters, we need to pray for specific needs and exercise specific faith that looks for God to answer. We need to realize that God has a specific plan for our lives. As members of the body of Christ, as children of God, all who receive the Lord as Saviour and who know and experience forgiveness and peace with God through the Lord Jesus should realize that they have now a definite place and purpose within the body, that is the body of Christ. This must be more than living a normal, acceptable, day-to-day life, more than waking, working, eating, sleeping, more than recreation, education, and advancement in many areas. It is doing God's will, finding the purpose He has for you day by day, finding the part you have to play in the body of Christ that is important. Now, have you recognized your need, your spiritual need of Christ as Saviour, that you're lost and needing the salvation that Jesus purchased for you on the cross of Calvary? You need to believe. Have you dedicated your life to Christ, that it might be lived to His glory? John Baptist's desire was that Christ might become greater and that he, John, might become less. He said, He, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. Now, for dedication of that sort, you need to believe. Have you sought God to show you what is your special service for the Master, the job He'd have you do? Your circle may be small and your ability limited, but there's something the Lord would have you do. To know and do your service for the Master, you need to have faith. And then, it seems that Jesus withheld from touching these two blind men until He received their affirmative answer. It wasn't a case of giving it a try, of touching them and seeing if they had faith to be healed. Like you push the electric plug into the socket and press the switch to see if the light will come on. Oh no. He asked them first, do you believe that I'm able to do this? It may be that God is hesitating to give you the desires of your heart to lead you into a large place of service and for you to know His will because there is not the affirmation on your part that you believe. If this is the case, go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart to Him. Let Him see and know of your love and dedication to Him. Ask the Lord to give you His gift of faith in your present circumstances. In conclusion, it must be pointed out that it is the Lord who's asking if you have faith. God comes to us in Christ. He's able to do all things and calls upon us to put our trust in Him. He asks if you have faith because He wants to work in your life in a new and a miraculous way. Some may call it a little thing that the Lord is asking, but for you it's a big thing to do His will, which has eluded you for so long, to speak a word, to write a letter, to make a phone call, to tell someone else of your faith, to perform an act of kindness in the name of the Lord, to go the extra mile, to give your spare coat or blanket to help another. You've never been able to do it before, you say, but you want to and cannot. You would like to do, but you don't seem able. Now hear the Lord asking you, do you have faith that I can do it? Let the Lord do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Have faith in God. Let Him hear the affirmative answer to His searching question. Let the answer be clearly seen by everybody that you do believe, that you are committed to faith in the Lord for every step in the life that He calls you to take.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23-2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use a secure CAF donate form on our website's support page? And now join Peter Jackson and singers as they sing "The love that Jesus has is deeper than the sea, is higher than the heavens and far beyond degree. It seals me to his heart and overwhelms my soul, the love that Jesus has for me.
The love that Jesus has is deeper than
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.